In our journey through life on this earth, we certainly do not want to live without love, because it is from God, who is love. From Him we have received life, hope, and everything in Jesus Christ. What we can imagine and things we cannot imagine. And I think this is why I must pray every day and we must pray every day, Lord, teach me to love you, Lord, to love my neighbor as myself and to love my brothers and sisters in Christ and to love myself in a healthy way, the way that God wants me to love me. Because if we lose that, if we start hating ourselves, then there comes the perdition and the hopelessness. We are most consistent in our spiritual disciplines when we allow God's love to fill us. His love needs to guide us, and His love needs to determine all of our thoughts, our attitudes, and our actions. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 and 8, I want to repeat a few verses, but then I want to continue where I stopped last time. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. And love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. I want to focus on these two areas now. Love always perseveres, and love never fails. To succeed in life, we need to persevere. Those people that start a job or a project and quickly give up when the going gets tough, they will not succeed. And we thank God today and take it for granted that we have these light bulbs and the electricity that gives us light. But you know, the inventor, he tried over 1,000 times until it was finally there. He persevered. He didn't give up. Many things that we enjoy today and often take for granted, it took a lot of perseverance for those that invented it so that our lives would be better and easier. Perseverance means to be patient and overcome enormous obstacles and difficulties in life, and especially in the Christian life, in the believer's life. We cannot persevere without God's help. For success in any worthwhile endeavor, one must persevere. Because if we give up too easily, we will fail. One who truly loves to persevere or causes or allows love to persevere, because love compels us, it pushes us to go on even against all odds. Love is not something sporadic. It is not a sprint that we're on in the believer's life. We're on a marathon. And as we are on a marathon, we can run very quickly sometimes, and then we get exhausted. Then we get burned out because we perhaps ran too quickly. Love wants us to understand that perseverance is when we keep on keeping on, keep on going. Confronting hate and danger, we must remain steadfast in love. To persevere will often require sacrifice and suffering. In our pilgrimage, we will need to learn to suffer. and still love. We'll need to learn to make sacrifices and still not allow love to die in us. And that, loved ones, we cannot learn on our own. We need God's help for that. When you are crushed, when you are bullied, when you are made fun of, when you are persecuted, when your adversaries seem to be too strong, when temptations overwhelm you, it is very tempting to then give up. But our love for God, our love of Christ, needs to recharge us every day and help us to continue loving. There's a great history in the United States about the movement when the segregation was happening. First, it was slavery that was overcome. And did you know that to overcome slavery in the United States, it actually cost 600,000 U.S. men, army men, their lives? 600,000, just to end slavery. But later the segregation continued, and it was somehow always in the mentality of people for many years that black people were somehow inferior to the white. And it took a long time and a very intense struggle for people to finally realize how God sees people. And it was a man named Dr. Martin Luther King. He was determined to stage not really protests, but rallies that were nonviolent to make changes. And we say, well, that was the idea of a social gospel. Well, let it be. But his idea was, and if you have never read his book, Strength to Love, his idea was that love can overcome these extreme difficult situations. Love can overcome hate. Love can overcome intimidation. Love can overcome when one race thinks that they're better than others. Love can overcome that. And I think oftentimes we take it for granted. And a lot of people don't even know who Martin Luther King was and what the whole deal was about it. It was a great deal, a big deal. And wherever there is racism, there is a definite sign that there is a lack of love. Because love perseveres and love doesn't have anything to do with racism. In Christ, we love one another. And this is so clear for the church, for God's church. Every race and every kindred and every tribe is welcome to come into God's family through the new birth. Belief in Jesus Christ places us as equals in God's kingdom forever and ever. Did I hear an amen on that? It doesn't matter what race we are. It doesn't matter what language we are, what culture we come from. Love perseveres and brings us together as one body of Christ. That is so beautiful. Salvation through Jesus Christ is the result of his persevering love. Imagine if God wouldn't have loved us the way he did. Imagine if God would have said, look, you know, this is just not worth my time. This is not worth my sacrifices. But the Bible tells us otherwise. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world. It never says one race or certain people. It says he loved, so loved the world, all of the people in the world, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Loved ones, if we are saved, and when we are saved by God's grace, we need to demonstrate to others how love perseveres and that love is there. The teachings of Jesus in what we call the Beatitudes, I like this word, Beatitudes, means that to have the right attitudes and being the right type of believers. It says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So love is the persevering factor in the Christian life, that we can even continue to love God when we're persecuted or insulted, or when others rail against us for Christ's sake or for our faith's sake. And this cannot be achieved in our own human nature. The kind of persevering love is not natural to us. It is a gift from God. And so when we pray, Lord, teach me to love, maybe we should start praying by, Lord, give me your gift of love. Jesus offers this victorious love to you and me every single day. That love is available. Now, the next point here is love never fails. I don't know about you, but I have doubted this sometimes. Is it true that love never fails? I know that we fail. I fail. At best, the love we demonstrate is not permanent because of our sinful nature. The love that we give to others is in part. And so I have to say again, this cannot be achieved by human effort. For love to be fail-proof, it must include all of these things that we saw before in 1 Corinthians 13, if you read it carefully again. Love is patient and is kind. It's free from envy and is not boastful. It doesn't display rudeness or selfishness. It doesn't embrace anger or keep a scorecard of the wrongs that is done to us. Love will find no pleasure in evil, but will be happy in the pursuit of truth. Love will always protect, trust, hope, and then persevere. If all of these things are there, this what we would call this recipe, these ingredients of love, then love never fails. Again, we have to say, can we really believe that? But you see, Paul is talking about the love of God. Because non-believers, godless people, they can love their own kind too. They can express compassion. They can express a lot of qualities that are related to love. But we as believers, I would say our love is way higher than as non-believers, because our love is from God. And if it's poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, then we see how Jesus loved, and we try to imitate him. From his birth to his death, Jesus demonstrated the never-failing love. He was criticized, he was falsely accused, and yet he continued to love. Oftentimes he had to speak the bare truth, but he always spoke it in love. He always spoke it with the intention, trying to help, trying to make people realize who the God of love really is. And Jesus was betrayed by Judas, one of his disciples. He responded to him. He said, "Why have you come, my friend?" Have you ever read that? Has it ever stuck out to you that Jesus said when Judas betrayed him, he said, "Why did you come, my friend?" He didn't call him my enemy. He asked him this piercing question, "Why did you come? Why did you do this to me? I loved you. I still love you." But Judas was hardened because greed had taken over his heart, and with it, darkness and lovelessness. I look at it this way. For love to fail, it would mean that God would fail. And God cannot fail. The reality is, since sin entered the world, God has been seeking us because he loves us. He loves you and me. No wonder the clearest definition for God in the scripture is that God is love in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Because he is love, he cannot fail. We can fail, we can stumble, we can fall. But God in his love cannot fail. One time Jesus was asked, "Which is the greatest commandment?" They wanted to see. These were legalistic people that had 630 some commandments and a lot of rules and regulations that the Pharisees and scribes had added to it. And they wanted to hear it from Jesus. Which is the greatest commandment? What should we focus on? And then Jesus answered, says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." See, the highest we can ever reach in life is not measured by our achievements, by our possessions, by how much we grow in love, by how much God can use us to love others, and how we respond to his unspeakable, never-failing love. Can you imagine if everybody in the world would have the love of God dwelling in their hearts? A world without anger? Marriages in harmony because of love? Selfless love. No more hate, no more envy, no more violence. And we would say, well, that's not possible in this world. That's in paradise to come. That's in heaven. Yes, it is. But can we at least, as a church, as God's people, pray every day, "Lord, teach me to love, so that I can make a difference, that I can shine a light into this world full of evil and full of hate and envy and all those things that oppose love, but to practice patience, kindness, and true love that rejoices in the truth." Each of us, as we reach for this grand ideal, a love that never fails, we can be agents for change in a hurting world that is hungry for genuine love. Many people are hurting. But if you are hurting this morning, allow God's love to heal that pain. And as God heals you, as God makes you whole again, that you have a healthy faith in God, a healthy love for God and for others, God wants to use you and to be a vessel in God's hands. A vessel of love is the greatest thing you can achieve on this earth. May God bless you and me as we pray daily, "Lord, teach us to love." Amen. Let's stand for prayer.